Dynasty Radio, 1382.
Ah, Uncle Jaseneb, life, liberty, prosperity, yet another decree stolen from you and me. The ancestors of the Nile Valley left us other messages too, like, let food be your medicine, and let your medicine be food.
Why is food and drugs under the same administration? They putting drugs in the food to keep money accumulating now. They like to call it additives and preservatives, slowly killing everybody that purchases it. Can you pronounce what's on the back of the label? Then that shit we need to keep off our dinner table now. The food is what's fueling these diseases, paying rich doctors all these medical fees, but they never cure you, they just keep you in need, cut you open for surgery and let your pockets bleed. See, we got away from what we used to eat. We forgot we were kidnapped and forced to eat meat. We ate from the earth, so we communicated with it. We cut the conversation, now check the situation. See, blacks the leaders in heart disease, cancer. We give them money like pills is the answer. Damn, I'd be wrong if I didn't pass the info. Hormones in the food got you thinking like a nympho. Wonder why all these young girls so thick, like a baseball player. Steroids is it. They got it in the vegetables, the fruit, the meat, and all the fast food they be selling in the street. It's a war going on, and our diet must reflect it. We all got the power, we just gotta direct it. Neglect it, never. Refer to the metal nature that them whole tests the father of medicine.
Greetings, family. Thanks for joining us again for another edition of Food for Medicine. I am one half of your host, Kenya Jones, and I'm going to be bringing my sister, Dr. Asisi Ezero, in here very shortly. But I just wanted to go ahead and welcome all that is in attendance today. Greetings to the family who has been here before, and welcome, and I hope you enjoy to those who have not. I am Kenya Jones, and I am an herbalist. Yes, I do love herbs, and I am a nutritionalist, so I would love for you guys to, listen to the show and get some information that you would normally, use as health. But I'm going to go ahead and bring in my sister. Give me one moment. Find her on the board. Okay, it looks like she's not here yet. But in the meantime, in between time, I do want to invite you guys to check out our archives. Go to our network website, and that's dynastynetwork.net. Once again, dynastynetwork.net. You can check out not just Food for Medicine, but other shows as well. We have hundreds of archives. I mean, you can listen. We've been on air for 3 years now. So you can actually go on and listen to past shows and get old, information. But today we're going to be having an awesome show, like always. And the topic of the today's show is going to be tropical plants. And, of course, those of you who are familiar with Dr. Stevie, she gets it in like no other. But I'm going to go ahead and see if she's on. Yep, there she is. And bring her in so she can properly introduce herself to everyone. And we'll speak on the premise and then actual topic of the show. Peace, my sister. How are you?
Peace. I'm doing well. I'm so sorry. My phone actually cut off on me right after the song went off. I don't know what was happening.
Oh, wow.
But yes.
You already know how things happen, but hey, you here. So greetings,
yes.
And hope all is well with you.
Yes,
wow.
So just
introduce yourself to those who are not familiar with you and also to those who are. So,
sure.
Like I stated, my sister is Dr. T. Dero, and...
So my name is Dr. Phoebe Durham, and I am a naturopathic physician. Again, welcome to everyone who's been with the Dynasty family, everybody who has joined us for the first time. I'm a naturopathic physician, and that means that I'm a primary care physician who uses holistic therapies such as hydrotherapy, acupuncture, physical medicine, all things that are holistic and non non-invasive to the body in order to bring about healing. My passion, though, however, is using diet, nutrition, and herbal medicine to bring about that healing. So that's one of the reasons my sister and I, we come bring the show to you every week, because we're both very, very passionate about helping learn what to, how to use your diet, yes, to bring about your own health and healing. So welcome.
Awesome. Yes, yes. And the premise of the show, the premise for Food for Medicine, is to enlighten African people on how to use food, not just as an alternative to medicine, but also to use it as it was intended by our ancestors. This show is designed to teach you how to eat to live instead of living to eat. Ashe.
Ashe.
And today's topic is a very interesting one, because I guess I've never really thought about tropical plants. So tropical foods for health, tropical plant foods for health is today's topic. We'll be discussing the health benefit of different tropical fruits and veggies, as well as some medicinal properties. So, sis, what prompted you? You know, my question always. To bring forth this actual topic.
Yes. Well, honestly, so this had nothing to do with any patients. Nobody was asking me to do a tropical food show. I just love tropical fruits myself. I incorporate them into my diet a great deal. You know, when I can get them and when they're not ridiculously priced or anything, but they do have their place in our diet, because even though we call them tropical, well, they're tropical fruits but and vegetables, but a lot of these tropical fruits and vegetables, I've noticed in my own studies and research, are fruits and vegetables that are very complementary to, you know, the body of Black people. So African people, you know, we have a lot of our elders, a lot of our healers are telling us to return to more indigenous diets, especially, you know, y'all know that I love Dr. Sabi. Y'all know that I love anybody who's talking about returning to a diet that is more closely related to what our ancestors ate. Because it's not that we're trying to completely copy exactly the things that they did back then, not that they weren't useful. But, and I mean, not that we can even recreate what, you know, ancient Africa, you know, the diets are in today's society. But we have to do the best that we can, because even though we are removed from our ancestral environment, our bodies are still biologically the same as our ancestors. You know, that, you know, our transition, our being brought to this part of the world only happened a few hundred years ago. So the body... our bodies have not changed that much over a few hundred years. So we still have the same nutrition requirements. We have the same health needs as our ancestors. So it is very useful for us to identify these foods that we call tropical, that are in these tropical environments, because we're tropical people. We come from areas that are very lush and full of vegetation, that have these high nutrient plant vegetation food sources. And that's what we should be eating, you know. And a lot of the diseases that you see nowadays are actually at their root cause nutrient deficiencies, no matter what it is, whether it's diabetes, cancer, autoimmune disease, a lot of them are because of nutrient deficiencies. Another reason why I wanted to do this show is because, I always go back and I look at some, you know, maybe research a long time ago and then I put away. So I did this research. I did like a little nutritional research study slash case study on a patient who had sickle cell anemia. And I've talked about this on a show or two before, but I'll mention it again. So when I was studying these sickle cell patients, these African sickle cell patients, they all either didn't know they had sickle cell anemia, or they knew they had the trait, but they never manifested symptoms until they moved from their African home countries to the Americas or to a Western country, whether it be America or it be like London, wherever. And so there was a Nigerian doctor named Oji Agbai who did a really extensive research in the sickle cell anemia patients coming from Africa and the Caribbean too, to the Americas or to America or to, you know, Western countries in Europe. And he noticed that these people were getting these sickle cell anemia diseases not 6 months after they had moved to these Western countries. And the reason for that that he found was, and that I based my research on at, when I did my case study, was that these sickle cell diseases are actually at their root cause nutrition deficiencies. Because people, when they went back home, even though they manifested symptoms in the in America or in London, they would go back home and they would eat their diet, and the symptoms would lessen or go away. And then when they would come back to America for school or work, whatever they were transitioning over here for, they would continue to eat the food here, whether it be vegetable, produce, or just fast food crap. They would manifest those sickle cell symptoms. So I was like, oh, my gosh, there is so much to this indigenous diet thing. It's not just a fad. It's not just something that we should be kind of throwing to the wayside because it seems like it's too difficult or because it's like maybe just a trend. People think that, you know, oh, well, you know, you're not in Africa, so you don't have to eat an African diet. No, that's not true. You know, so these tropical foods
wow.
that I'm going to be talking about today, you know, I thought that was amazing, you know. And also I want to, I don't want to go on without mentioning Dr. Ogbai. He was able to heal people, and he is healing people. He's still in Nigeria. He's still healing people with sickle cell anemia with nutrition diet protocol. So he's adding foods that are indigenous to the area that are, you know, high in nutrients. Because as we know, for those of you who have traveled, you know that the vitamins, or not the vitamins, the vegetation, when you eat produce from the Caribbean or from Africa, it just tastes different. Like the cucumbers taste different. The greens taste different. Like I went to Haiti and the mangoes tasted different. The greens tasted different. It just tastes more earthy, more full. You can taste the mineral content different.
Wow.
In those foods. And that's what we're trying to get to. So even though we may not have access to the tropical fruits, you know, that are more in alignment with our native diet, it's still a good idea to try as much as we can to incorporate them when we can, you know. So
let me just add on to I have a family member, and her husband is from he's from Ghana, and when he moved here about 8 years ago, he all of a sudden just came down with sickle cell. He never was sick when he was home. And they didn't understand what was going on with them. It was the weirdest thing. And he's literally in and out the hospital here all the time. Very sick.
Right.
Blood transfusions and all kinds of other stuff going on. And I never understood that. I knew it has to have been something more so like environmental and, you know, with the food, because it didn't make sense to me that he wasn't sick
all
like
that.
This until he got here to the States. And all of a sudden he had sickle cell, never had it. Well, I guess, you know, wasn't active when he was home.
Right. Yep. Nope. It's all of that. Environmental, it's dietary. And, you know, it's not, it's something that we develop to protect ourselves in our home countries, you know, in Africa and the Caribbean. It's the immune system, the African immune system working in a way it should be. But the diet in America or in Western countries is just not complementary, and it's showing that.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with us. I don't even like to look at it as a disease, as it being like a genetic disease. They try to say that it's like a genetic disease, but I think it's just the immune system working to protect us. If we were in Africa, then it would be no problem. But when we eat the diet that they create for us here,
I was going to say, there's another blood, like a type of blood that they call a disease that protects people. Is that sickle cell that they can't, like, get malaria or something because the blood cells are sickled? I wonder if that's sickle.
Right.
I forgot what it is.
There
and
are
it,
several
they can't
types.
Be infected. Yeah, it's
right.
like they can't be infected by a malaria because of the way their blood is set up in their bodies.
Right.
And I thought that was just awesome.
There are several hemolytic anemias, which are these anemias that change the shape of the blood cells. That people have, and they're all over Africa. People in the Caribbean have them. Even people in like southeastern Asia have them, you know, all the people who are prone to have, like, I don't think that there'd be, like, such a large population of people that have this and it'd be a disease. You know what I'm saying? I think it's just an adaptation to the blood that most of the people who are people of color on the earth can get because they live in places where the environment requires that the body needed to do that. And people who don't live there, European people, people that live in America, where they're not prone to certain diseases, they don't have that same trait. And in their medical system, it's looked at as a disease, and they treat it like a disease. And then they put you on things to try to, you know, to get rid of the disease. And what's the best way to do that in Western medicine? To cut it out, to get rid of it. So what they do, take your blood away and transfuse it with a different blood. Like, oh, this will be better this time. But it's not. So, yeah, it's we could go on and on, but at its core, it's nutrition. It's a nutritional deficiency. And sickle cell anemia is not the only thing. There are many different conditions. We could go as far as high blood pressure, diabetes, you know, all these inflammatory conditions, autoimmune disease, even vitiligo. Vitiligo, when I was looking at that, researching that when I was in med school, it really is at its core also a nutritional deficiency and also one that's dealing with the digestive system. So you just have to kind of go deeper, you know, and step away from what the status quo is, what the dominant society is trying to tell us is wrong, and then we have to really look at ourselves and get the information from our own cultural framework. So, yes, with that being said, I'm going to get into these foods because we need to know what it is that we can do, what we can incorporate in order to combat these nutritional deficiencies that create these problems for us. And a lot of these foods are going to be ones that maybe a lot of people haven't heard of. Well, not a lot of them, some of them. But most of them are going to be foods that are slept on, that we have all over the place, that we can have access to, but we just need to understand their power. You know, we have to have their power. For example, the first fruit on my list is easy peasy, bananas. Bananas are a tropical fruit. Bananas are something that are a part of the diet of people who live from places that our ancestors have been. So banana is absolutely slept on, but it's a superfood. Don't sleep on banana because banana is just, for one thing, it's easily digestible. It has a lot of these easy-to-digest, simple sugars that are healthy sugars because they're fruit sugars. And of course, this is when the banana is in its ripe state. You want the banana to have little spots on it. I know people are not – I even grew up this way. Yeah. People throw away bananas once they start getting spotty, right, because it looks, I guess, undesirable. But that is absolutely not what you should do. You should like the banana when it is spotty because once it's spotty, that means it's ripening, and that means the sugars, well, actually the starches, because banana is a starch when it's young. When it's green, it's harder. You can feel it. It's more starchy. Think of like a plantain, like a cooking plantain that's used to bake or to boil like a potato. That is a starch. Starch creates inflammation. Starch creates acid in the body. So we don't want to increase the starches in our body when we're trying to heal ourselves. We want to reduce them. So what we do in this case is we allow the banana to naturally ripen and let those starches be converted into sugars, into proteins, into enzymes, into vitamins and minerals that are going to be ready for the body to easily digest and consume. So ripe bananas, little bit of spots on them is better than eating like a green or a partially green banana. So because of those simple sugars and those natural, those enzymes and proteins that are readily available once the banana is ripe, banana is a great source of energy. Like it's like a little like portable, like energy bar, but made by nature, you know? So those of you who are athletes, those of you who are people who need snacks and need, like, bulk in the diet, you know, throughout the day, a snack that will help sustain you, people that want that satiation that comes with eating those junk foods that you think are satiating you, grab a banana because bananas will give you that quick source of food, energy, and all the nutrients to go along with it. And they are great for people who are in, like, malnourished states. So those people who have increased nutrition needs, so people who are taking care of elders who maybe need a little bit more care, who are in assisted living, people who are caring for children, maybe who are underweight or malnourished for whatever reason. Bananas are a great source. You can mash it up for them. It's easy digestible. It's not something that's going to tax the pancreas, the liver, and the digestive system. So it's a very good choice for all those occasions. Banana also, it's chock full of antioxidants and flavonoids such as lutein, zeaxanthin, a whole bunch of carotenoids. Remember, our carotenoids are those flavonoids that make our yellow pigments, orange pigments, red pigments. Banana, the yellow color in them, are actually antioxidants. And our antioxidants, remember, I've mentioned in other shows, they are protective against those scavengers, or not scavengers, they are the scavengers against those free radicals that are oxygen-derived from our environment that actually play a role in the aging and the degeneration of our tissues. So bananas are full of those antioxidants that protect us. Banana is also a great, great, great source of B vitamins. So it's basically like you're taking a B complex multivitamin if you eat bananas. They're especially high in B6. And B6 is an important B complex vitamin that's beneficial for the treatment of nervous system disorders. So if you have like nervous disorders, anxiety, restlessness, muscle disorders, banana with the B-complex vitamins in it are great for that. Because of its high nutrient content, bananas are very good for anemia. And also, the B6 that is in banana is also good to help with, because it helps the nervous system in balancing out, it can help with insomnia, which is an over-stimulated state where you can't rest. So grab a banana. Don't grab that glass of milk. Why don't you just eat a banana or make you like a banana smoothie? You know, and then, you know, call it a night. Further, it helps decrease homocysteine. And homocysteine, for those of you who had lab tests that have told you that you have high homocysteine, you know what I'm talking about. But for those who don't know, homocysteine is basically an inflammatory marker in the body that signals the presence of excessive inflammation. So if you get a blood test done and it says that you have high homocysteine levels, that means that your body is too full and has accumulated too much of inflammation and it is causing a disease process. And all this excess inflammation can lead to cardiovascular disease, autoimmune disease, diabetes, and other degenerative disorders. So you don't want that. But bananas are really good at helping to reduce those levels of inflammation in the body. Banana, of course, is a great source of vitamin C, and vitamin C helps the body to develop resistance against infectious agents by boosting the immune system's response to these pathogens and other offending agents that can come to the body. And vitamin C is also an antioxidant, so it helps to scavenge for free radicals. Fresh bananas provide a lot of minerals and trace minerals. So you can see bananas containing things like copper, magnesium, manganese. And remember, magnesium is essential for bone strengthening along with calcium. There's some calcium in bananas, but not as much as other ones. But magnesium is very high, so if you eat it in conjunction with other fruits and vegetables, then you'll be perfect. Magnesium is strengthening also to the cardiovascular system. It protects the heart. It helps with muscle contraction in the cardiovascular system to make sure circulation is working adequately. And manganese, which is also abundant in bananas, is utilized as a cofactor for the antioxidant enzyme called superoxide dismutase. And superoxide dismutase is actually needed in order for different detoxification reactions to happen in the body. So you eating bananas, then you're helping your body to detoxify as well. And the copper that I mentioned that is in banana is required for healthy red blood cell production. So again, helping with those anemic patients. And then, of course, you know, can't talk about bananas without talking about potassium. Potassium is extremely rich in bananas, and the mineral potassium is very important when it comes to regulating cell and body fluids. It helps with controlling the heart rate, blood pressure, and it helps to counter the effects of sodium in the diet. So you should already not be eating a whole bunch of excess salt and sodium in the diet, but potassium is just one of those minerals that helps to balance the salts in the body. So you should already have healthy levels of salt, but if you need more assistance with that, potassium from bananas can really help with people who are having problems with excess sodium. And the potassium is also a really important component of cell and body fluid metabolism that also contributes to regulating blood pressure and the heart. So it strengthens the heart as well. So definitely get at least, you know, 1 to 3 bananas in your day. Do the best you can. I know that people are not used to eating maybe bananas like that, but just put them in a smoothie. It's not that difficult. Put them in a smoothie. You can use them in baked goods as an egg replacement. I've used it for both of those things. And then sometimes I just grab them and go. Like, they're a great portable snack to take with you. Keep at your desk to stave away hunger and cravings for sugar and things of that nature. So don't sleep on bananas. They are a super, super food, and they are readily available to everyone. Everyone can get bananas, unless you're in Alaska or something like that. So, yes. So bananas are the first thing on the list. The next thing I have on my list, I know we didn't mention this, but this is a lot to show you guys. So if you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please do not hesitate to call in the show. You can call this number, 646-716-7572, and you can press number 1 if you want to raise your hand and because you have a comment or a question, but if you don't, you can just call in and listen, just sit back and listen to the show. But if there are no questions or comments right now, I'm going to continue. So the next food we have on our list is mangoes. Mangoes, I love mangoes. Oh, my gosh. And I fell in love with mangoes I loved mangoes before I went to Haiti, but I fell in love more with mangoes when I went to Haiti because they just have mangoes everywhere. And don't let nobody fool you. You've never been to Haiti before. Don't let people say that Haiti is poor. Haiti may have monetary issues because of their history with European countries just juicing them out of all of their money. But they are, as a country, and as far as natural resources are concerned, very rich, and especially rich with the vegetation, the natural fruits and the herbs and the things that grow from the land. Beautiful. And mangoes was something that I saw all over Haiti, and they were delicious, way better than the mangoes that you find out here. So mangoes, this fruit is rich, for one thing, in fiber, especially rich in prebiotic dietary fiber. And the prebiotic dietary fiber is that soluble fiber, that fiber that you can digest, that actually goes towards creating a nutrition source for gut flora. So there's a natural flora in your gut that actually does consume some of the fiber that you eat in order to sustain its life in your gut. And then you need those bacteria. You need them to be nourished because they help you create a lot of your vitamins and enzymes that you need in order to sustain your life. So these prebiotic dietary fibers that are in fruits like mango are very important. Mangoes contain many different vitamins, minerals, and different flavonoid compounds that help with antioxidant activity in the body. So, again, mangoes are very, very good for you. According to some new research studies that I was reading, mango fruit has been found to protect against colon cancer, breast cancer, leukemia, prostate cancers, several different types of cancers. And a lot of this is due to its antioxidant activity. They specifically look at the polyphenolic, the polyphenols are these circular shaped antioxidants, and those are the ones, so when you hear about people talking about polyphenols and, you know, phenolic flavonoids and all that stuff, those are just fancy words for these antioxidant molecules that look like rings, and those are abundant in mangoes, and these compounds are known to offer a great deal of protection against cancers in the body. So mango is good for that. If you are concerned about that happening to you, if you feel like you have a history of it in your family, of, you know, things like that, if you want to prevent it, then eat fruit like mango to protect yourself. Mango fruit is also an excellent source of flavonoids like beta carotenes, alpha carotene, and beta cryptoxanthin, which are, again, those pigment molecule antioxidants that make our reds and orange and yellows in our fruit and vegetables. And altogether, those flavonoids, they have been known to have antioxidant properties that are essential for vision health. So think about how they say carrots are good for the vision. Well, the reason that they say that is because carrots contain these carotenoid antioxidant compounds. And you don't have to eat carrots to get that. You can eat any other fruit like mangoes. Mangoes are just as orange, if not more orange, than a carrot, and they actually contain more of these compounds, and they're alkaline. Carrots are a hybrid. They can be a little bit more acidic. They can be a little bit more sugary than we like. So go for a mango instead of a carrot to help with your vision. And overall, these antioxidants, of course, help with free radical protection that can lead to cell aging and degeneration. The beta carotenes that are in mango help the body in producing that vitamin A that we want. You actually don't eat vitamin A unless you're eating animal proteins. If you're eating plants, you're getting the beta carotenoid so that you can make your own vitamin A. And when you get that from mangoes and fruit like mangoes, this vitamin A that you make is going towards maintaining healthy mucous membranes and skin. So that's what vitamin A is used for in the body. And, of course, you know, it helps to boost your immune system. It can stave away infections and other immune onslaughts that could potentially affect your body. Also, consumption of natural fruits rich in carotene, like mango, is known to protect from respiratory and oral diseases. So vitamin A, when you make it, also goes towards those body systems, especially in order to help protect those systems that are more prone to pathogens, you know, because, you know, your respiratory system, we're breathing all day. So, of course, our respiratory system is exposed to all these things in our environment. And then, of course, our oral cavity, our mouth, is exposed to things all day, every day. So it's very important that we have the right sense, you know, from our body in these areas that are constantly exposed to the outside world. And mango can help us do that with its nutrients, of course. Fresh mango is a great source of potassium as well. Not as good as banana, but it's a pretty good addition if you are eating them both in your diet. One cup of fruit provides 156 milligrams of potassium, while just 2 milligrams of sodium. So it's not a high sodium food, but it's high in potassium. So again, we have that mineral salt balance that we need that you can only get from eating whole foods. And potassium is an important component of cell and body fluids, like I said, so it helps with heart rate, controlling blood pressure. Mango is also a very good source of vitamin B6, vitamin C, and vitamin E. So consumptions of foods that are rich in these, of course, help with the nervous system. They help with the immune system. Consumption of vitamin C-rich foods, which mango is one of them, it helps to develop resistance against infectious agents. And again, vitamin C is a free radical scavenger, so it helps us with that. And the B6. Another thing about the B6 vitamin that mango has a lot of in it, it is required for the body or the brain to produce GABA. GABA is a hormone that is a neurotransmitter in the brain, which is needed in order for the relaxation of the nervous system to occur. So it allows us to relax. It allows our muscles to relax. It allows us to cope with anxiety, et cetera. So people who have a deficiency in GABA production in their brain, they're prone to restlessness, insomnia, sleep disturbances. Think of all the things that would occur if your nervous system is overstimulated. That's what happens when you don't have enough GABA. Mango helps the body to create that naturally, and it helps you to relax. Mango also has nutrients in it that can help to control homocysteine levels. Remember, those homocysteine levels are associated with inflammation in the body, excess inflammation, and which can harm the cardiovascular system and other systems of the body. Mangoes also, it's a really good source of minerals like copper. Copper is, again, that cofactor that is used in many different processes in the body. It's needed in order to create those detoxification pathways that help us to eliminate waste and toxins in the body. So copper is very important and is very abundant in mangoes. Additionally, mango peel is also rich in all of these phytonutrients that I'm talking about, but in higher amounts. But they're not as readily available because they're so bound with the fiber of the peel. But the thing that you can do is let nature break that down and do what? Compost it. So if you have your own garden, if you don't have your own garden, you should start one. At the very least, start a compost pile and grow something in it. But you can compost the mango skins and put those nutrients back into the soil. And then when you grow things in that soil, you're going to get all of those nutrients back, even more so because now you're using the peel that has all those nutrients but in greater amounts. You're going to get that back into food that you plant in that soil. So this is that holistic aspect of, you know, of that plant-based diet. You know, you're eating the plants, and you're also returning the scraps back to the earth so that the earth can do with it what it needs to do in order to replenish itself. And this is how naturally things would occur. So think we were in a village and we were getting our produce from the forest. The forest that has fruit trees and other vegetation, you know, we're not going to be eating all of that fruit all of the time at every moment. Some of that fruit's going to fall, it's going to overripen, it's going to fall to the ground, and it's going to compost. So that is why the rainforest, the forest of any kind, replenishes itself and is able to regenerate because it's always giving back. It's always giving back, and it always gives back to us, so we should definitely give back to it by taking the time to compost if we are able. So definitely take that into consideration as well when we're throwing away our scraps. And I know I need to do better with that myself. I'm definitely adding myself to that because I've tried to compost out here in Arizona, and it has been interesting because it's so dry here. It took a little while for me to understand that you have to add some moisture. So I had a few compost piles that had seed in the sun, and they just didn't break down. They just fried, and they were just like hard, rock hard peels and pieces of fruit and stuff. And I was like, this stuff is not breaking down. So it discouraged me a couple of times, but, you know, now, especially, you know, that I have more people around me that are more well-versed in composting, I was able to at least contribute to something that is a more efficient compost pile, right? So definitely compost or get with people that do compost and contribute to that. The other thing I want to mention, too, is mango leaf tea. Mango leaves are noted in traditional tropical medicine practices all over the world, and they are used to stop things like diarrhea, fever, to prevent insomnia, hypertension. I've even seen it used in common folk remedies for diabetes. So, you know, mango tea is very versatile tea. You can also use it as an alternative for cough syrups. You can make a tea and use it for different coughs, asthma, bronchitis, as well as colds. So it just all those antioxidants and flavonoids are in the leaves, and I'm sure that they are helping with those respiratory symptoms. The tea also makes an excellent herbal mouthwash for various gum problems, especially inflammatory diseases of the gums that cause degeneration of the gums, receding. But make sure the tea is cool, of course, before you make a mouthwash out of it for these things. Mango leaf tea is also good to lower blood pressure as well as treat restlessness in the individual. And I would say anywhere from like at least 2 cups, maybe 3 cups a day of mango leaf tea. That's usually the therapeutic dose for most herbs. You can also take a bath with mango leaf tea, which is good for any kind of skin irritation. And it also, I've seen it used what they call to cool the spirit and to invigorate the body. So if you need invigorating properties in your life, if you need to cool your spirit, then you take you a bath with some mango leaf and get right. So that's what I have about mango. Next thing I have on my list is coconut. Now, you know I can't talk about tropical fruit without talking about coconut. Oh, my goodness. I've talked about coconut in many other shows in different regards, but coconut, of course, is a superfood that is tropical, that is full of all the nutrition that we need. It's very versatile, and it's indispensable, you know. It's a complete food. It's rich in calories that we need to sustain us, vitamins, minerals, you know, and it has water. It's just perfect. And the water may provide almost all the daily required essential minerals, vitamins, and energy that we need in itself, let alone the meat. So everybody should be getting coconuts into their diet periodically. I know they can be expensive and ridiculously priced, but there are ways you can find coconuts. One thing you can find, if you live in areas where you have access to Mexican or Asian markets, they usually have them for a little bit better prices. Sometimes they try to get crazy, but a lot of times when you buy them in bulk, it's cheaper. Like if you buy a case, you can usually get them cheaper. Like out here in Arizona, because we're so close to Mexico, we can find them in bulk all over the place. And then we have a lot of Asian markets. Most people have like Asian populations and they have stores. So find them in cases and buy them that way to save money if you can afford it. Another way is if you have West Indian stores that sell those coconuts, that's even better because then you're getting it from them. So just, you know, kind of weigh your options, price things out, and see what you can get. But it's worth it. It's an investment. And I periodically get cases myself when I'm doing either juice fast or if I just want to incorporate coconuts and coconut water into my diet. It's a very good investment for your health. So do that as often as you can. And then, of course, you can incorporate coconut meat, you know, in different variations into your diet. Dry coconut butter, the coconut oil, you know, all those things are good. But just make sure that they are preferably raw or just dehydrated coconut. You don't want highly refined coconut oils that don't smell like coconut because then you're not getting the nutrients in it. So just make sure you're getting the best quality coconut products that you can to get the best nutrition from them. Okay, so let's talk about coconut and why is it so healthy. The important thing I like, well, the most important thing to me is the oil that is in the coconut. That is what a lot of these medicinal properties come from. And the oil in coconut is a saturated fatty acid, but don't be afraid of it. The fatty acid is made up of lauric acid, and lauric acid actually increases good cholesterol levels and lowers those bad cholesterol levels. So the HDL goes up, LDL goes down. So that's great for people who are trying to heal themselves from high cholesterol issues. Also, coconut oil, the lauric acid, which is the fatty acid that makes up coconut oil, it also helps. It has a beneficial effect on the coronary arteries by preventing the vessel blockage and arteriosclerosis. So many physicians will recommend coconut oil be added to the diet for cardiovascular patients because it can help with healing the arteries and helping with plaque production. Lauric acid also has antimicrobial properties, making coconut and the coconut oil and water a great food item to assist in the balancing of the digestive flora, the expelling of parasites, worms, amoebas, and many other pathogenic microbes that can come into the body. The medium-chain triglycerides in coconut oil are also a quick source of fuel to the body due to its high bioavailability, causing it to be quickly metabolized in the body. So if you're an athlete, somebody who needs quick nutrition, somebody that maybe is malnourished, underweight, somebody who has problems with absorption of nutrients, coconut oils and coconut products are a great addition to the diet because it is so easily digested and utilized by the body. Medium-chain triglycerides are also utilized a great deal by the cells that make up our intestine, most especially our colon cells. And because of that, coconut oil is a quick nourishment for these cells, and it helps facilitate the healing of of disorders like leaky gut and other inflammatory disorders in the bowel because it helps those cells to mend where the digestive system is damaged. This inflammation, it helps to dispel that. So coconut oil is just very tonic. It is very tonifying to the body in that way. Coconut water is a very refreshing drink, of course, and, you know, it's good for rehydrating the body. The juice is packed with simple sugars, electrolytes, minerals, and bioactive compounds such as cytokines, and it has enzymes in it. And altogether, these enzymes aid in digestion and metabolism. It's also very nourishing to the thyroid. So those of you who have thyroid disorders, who have problems with losing weight, who have a sluggish metabolism, coconut oil is excellent. Is an excellent energy boost to the body for that, and it helps to facilitate the balancing of that metabolism to one that's more helpful for you. Research studies have shown or have suggested that the cytokinins in coconut water showed significant anti-aging, anti-carcinogenic, and anti-thrombotic effects. And when we talk about anti-thrombotic, that just helps with the plaque formation in the arteries, the clogging of arteries, blood clots, things of that nature. Coconut oil really helps with the body getting rid of those. The coconut is an excellent source of minerals such as copper, calcium, iron, manganese, magnesium, and zinc. And it's also, of course, a very good source of B-complex vitamins, such as our folates, riboflavin, niacin, thiamine, and B6. And these vitamins are essential in the sense that the body requires them for external processes to replenish itself and to carry out several biological processes. Coconut meat and water contain a very good amount of potassium. Not as much as bananas, but, again, adding it to the diet is just going to add to your potassium. One cup of fresh coconut meat can contain more than 356 milligrams of potassium. So definitely get up on the coconut. Don't sleep on it. It's very good for you. So the next fruit that I have, well, it's like a vegetable fruit. It's called chayote, or chocho is what it's called in parts of the Caribbean and Africa. And chocho, people don't know, it is a member of the gourd family, so it's like a zucchini or a squash. It's a squash-like fruit vegetable. And it's called, out here they call it like a Mexican squash also. But it's very good. I got introduced to it once I moved out here to Arizona because a lot of the Mexican stores would carry them. Chayote, like other gourds, you know, is one of those vegetables that's very rich in dietary fiber. Squashes, gourds, all of those are very fiber-rich. And they're also very rich in antioxidants, minerals, and vitamins. So in that case, being a fairly low-calorie and fiber-rich vegetable, it is a great addition to the diet for those people who are interested in cholesterol control, weight reduction, and blood sugar control programs. Because in those programs, usually people are trying to carb low-carb and low-sugar, that kind of stuff. And not that I, you know, am saying that you have to do that, but, you know, we do need to get away from the refined sugars and the starches. And one of the ways that we do that is by adding foods that help us to think we're eating these starchy things, but we're really not. But chayote, because it's a squash, the same way that you would use like zucchini or like yellow squash, you can use it in place of some of those starchier foods like potatoes and, you know, yams and things like that. And it will give you that full feeling and that texture that you want from the starchy things, but it won't give you the starch. So that's the whole thing there with those weight reduction, cholesterol control, and blood sugar control programs. We want to help people transition into those type of foods. Chayote are relatively good for the B-complex vitamins. B-complex vitamins are very, very rich in chayote, and especially folates. And remember that our folates, along with other B vitamins, but especially our folates, like or folic acid is the synthetic one, but folates, they're important for cell division and DNA synthesis. So when taken adequately before and during early pregnancy in childbearing women, this vitamin can help prevent neural tube defects in newborn babies. So definitely up the foods that have these folates. All vegetables and fruits have them, but, you know, more that have different fruits and vegetables have them more than others. And the squash family, gourd family fruits, or fruit vegetables, like chayote, definitely have that. As in other gourd family vegetables, like zucchini, chayote, too, provides great levels of potassium. And you can get a lot of potassium, you know, by adding chayote to the diet with your bananas and your coconut and your mangoes, right? So furthermore, chayote contains an array of flavonoids as well. These compounds help with free radical prevention, and they help with tissue, helping to keep the tissue integrity and to help to protect them from degeneration. Fresh chayote is also a great source of vitamin C and other trace electrolytes that are needed to prevent dehydration and maintain fluid balance in the body. So again, chayote is one of those watery fruits, like most other squash and gourds. They can have some good water content. So you can use chayote, especially during the spring and the summer, as an addition to the diet that is a little lighter and giving you more water into your diet that you're not just drinking from a bottle. So chayote is actually very good. So if you can find a Latin store or a West Indian store, even Asian markets, a lot of times they will have the chayote or the chocho or Mexican squash, as they're called as well. They have a few different names. The next vegetable fruit I have on my list is avocado. Avocado is a tropical fruit that is very, very, very good for us, and a lot of times we may sleep on it. The creamy pulp of avocados is a very good source of monounsaturated fatty acids like oleic and palmitoleic acids, as well as linoleic acids. These are all the MUFAs and the or the monounsaturated fatty acids and the polyunsaturated fatty acids that are all very helpful to the cardiovascular system and other systems of the body. Research studies suggest that a diet that is rich in monounsaturated fatty acids helps to lower the bad cholesterol and increase the good cholesterol, and thereby can help prevent those cardiovascular diseases like strokes, heart attacks, high cholesterol, all those things that can arise if the fatty acids in the diet are not in a good ratio or not in a helpful ratio. Avocados are a very good source of soluble and insoluble dietary fiber. So, again, good for digestion, helps with nourishing those colon cells, helps with moving elimination along. And, again, anytime our elimination is good, we have to have good bowel movements in order to help lower blood cholesterol, because the liver dumps excess cholesterol into our digestive system so they can be eliminated through bowel movement. So if we are not eliminating efficiently, then we're actually allowing this cholesterol to recirculate into our body, and thus we get high cholesterol, or it contributes to high cholesterol sticking around. So make sure that you are eating foods that are high in these dietary fibers, like the foods I'm mentioning, but especially avocado, because it will help with that. Moreover, avocado composes has a high composition of these tannins. And tannins are these other phenolic compounds that have beneficial anti-inflammatory, anti-ulcer, and antioxidant properties. So the tannins help with tonifying the tissues, helping to improve the integrity of mucous membranes, such as in the digestive tract, so that nutrient absorption is better and so that inflammation can come down. So it can help with allergies and bowel inflammation and things of that nature. And avocados are, of course, full of flavonoid antioxidants like lutein, zeaxanthin, beta and alpha carotenes that give it the yellow color. And together, all these compounds help with protecting the body against those free radicals. They are also rich in fat-soluble vitamins like vitamin E and vitamin K, which are needed for antioxidant support in vitamin E's case, and also to perform efficient blood clotting functions in the body as far as vitamin K is concerned. Avocados are excellent minerals like iron, copper, magnesium, and manganese. Magnesium, again, is essential for bone strengthening and has a cardiovascular protective role as well. Manganese is used by the body as a cofactor for detoxification reactions in the body. Iron and copper, again, are required in the production of healthy red blood cells that can carry oxygen giving, or it can carry blood that carries life giving oxygen to all parts of the body. fresh avocado is actually a very rich source of potassium as well. And avocado actually does have more potassium than banana, believe it or not. One cup of avocado can actually provide over 485, almost 500 milligrams or more of potassium. And that's depending on the size, because you can have like a little bitty avocado that, you know, doesn't have much because of the size, then you can get like a big Florida avocado that can have a good, you know, a good chance can have over 500, 600 milligrams of potassium in one avocado. So, and remember that potassium is an important component of cell and body fluid metabolism, which is also important as far as blood pressure and the control of sodium in the body is concerned. I have only three more fruits that I want to talk about, fruit vegetables. The next thing I want to talk about is amaranth, or callaloo, as it is called in many places. Amaranth is just awesome. I love amaranth. And when I can get it, I love to consume it. Amaranth provides a really quick source of energy as well because it is highly packed with complex carbohydrates, which are those good carbohydrates that break down slower in our body. They're not sugars. Also, amino acids, B vitamins are in amaranth, which support metabolism and food energy use. Also, amaranth is high in vitamin C, iron, and it's a rich source of that alkalinizing and oxygenating chlorophyll, all of which together provides the body with just all of this energy. You know, those are the things that when we give our body the fuel it needs, it's energized. You know, when we don't, it's going to lack energy. Amaranth prevents electrolyte imbalance because the leaves are terrific sources of all of these minerals like manganese, iron, copper, calcium, magnesium, potassium, and phosphorus, which are necessary for maintaining proper balance in the body. And all this, of course, helps with our hydration when we take in fluids and fluid equilibrium in the body. So, you know, swellings, edema, you know, having proper electrolyte balance is really important when it comes to people dealing with those things. Amaranth is a great gluten-free grain. So we're talking about the leaves and the actual seeds or the grains of amaranth. And amaranth is completely gluten-free. Vegetarians, gluten-free intolerance, or those, anybody suffering from, you know, celiac disease, wheat intolerances, things of that nature, can absolutely eat amaranth, because there's no gluten whatsoever in it, while also reaping the health benefits of eating the greens, of course. Don't sleep on those greens. But compared to other plant sources, namely wheat, rye, rice, oats, you name it, amaranth contains 30% or more protein or protein-creating amino acids because it contains a complete set of those amino acids. So I know people talk about plants having either an incomplete or a complete set of amino acids in order to make proteins when you eat them. Well, amaranth is absolutely one of those foods. The grains are going to give you a complete set of amino acids, so that when you eat them, they will go towards making the proteins in the body. And all plants will do that, not just amaranth. All plants that contain any amino acids are going to do that for you. But if people are concerned with getting a complete source of the amino acids needed to create the protein that you want all in one food, then amaranth is one of those that will do that. Quinoa is another one. Hemp seeds are another one as well. But amaranth is one of those tropical fruits or one of those tropical vegetables that we're talking about today. Amaranth improves digestion because of the high dietary fiber content in the grain, which is three times that of wheat, and in the greens. And this fiber improves digestive health and reduces constipation. And it's easily digestible, good nourishing food to give to the whole family, especially those with increased nutritive needs and children. Because of that, protein and fiber content, amaranth can, of course, help with weight management. It can help to reduce insulin levels in the blood, so also it reduces, you know, the inflammatory response that can happen when we have too high of insulin in our body and that insulin sensitivity that can occur. Amaranth also helps reduce levels of cortisol and ghrelin release in the body, which are both hormones that cause the body to store excess fat. It causes overeating, emotional eating, binging, all of that. So amaranth is one of those greens that can help people to fend off that happening in the body. Amaranth helps with reducing bad cholesterol and raising good cholesterol because of the fiber in the diet. It's good for anemic patients because of the high iron content in iron, especially the red amaranth, but also the green amaranth leaves. They nourish the blood in this way, and they help to build the blood. They can help people with clotting disorders. They help to increase hemoglobin content and red blood cell count in anemic patients. Amaranth is very, very good for deficient blood, absolutely. Amaranth is can be a preventative measure for cancer because of the presence of lysine, vitamin E, vitamin C, and amaranth. Cardiovascular disease can be prevented with amaranth because of the phytosterols, which are natural steroids that are in plants that they actually use to drug steroids. They actually copy nature's plant steroids in order to make your cholesterol or cardiovascular medications that are steroidal, but you don't have to take them. You can just take the plants in and then reduce your medication as you're incorporating more of these plants to the point to where eventually your doctor can take you off of it. And amaranth is also rich in vitamin C, like I said, which is found in the leaves. But the grains also contain vitamin C. It's one of the few grains that actually do contain vitamin C antioxidants. And vitamin C, remember, helps with healthy collagen production, skin, nail, and hair health. It nourishes the vasculature of the body. It improves the quality of the mucous membranes. Just very good. And, of course, vitamin C is a antioxidant. It helps with the immune system boosting. Very, very good. Amaranth is a super, super food, so definitely get up on that. Next fruit I want to talk about is soursop. I love soursop. I had soursop for the first time last year in Miami. I was in Miami visiting, and I had it out there, and I was like, wow, this is an excellent fruit. I heard about soursop way before then, but I had only eaten it, like last year. Soursop fruit is excellent. It contains significant levels of B vitamins, B1, B2, B6, all of those B vitamins, basically the complex of B vitamins. It's very high in vitamin C, making it a great antioxidant food that can assist the body in protecting itself from free radicals and tissue degeneration. And in areas native to the soursop, the fruit leaves and seeds serve a variety of medicinal purposes for the people in these regions. So, for example, the pulverized soursop seeds have been used as skin astringents. It's been used to help kill off bugs, like bed bugs, lice. If used as a hair wash, it's been used to reduce muscle spasms when rubbed on the area affected. Concoctions made from the soursop leaves, or like teas, decoctions, and other where you're adding the leaves to the hot water. It's used for a range of different diseases and remedies, some of which include alleviating arthritis, the pain in the joints because it's inflammatory. It reduces inflammation in the nasal passages. It helps with soothing the respiratory tract as a whole. It's used as a tranquilizer or as a sedative to the nervous system, so it helps with restlessness and anxiety as a tea. Also, it's been used to treat skin conditions like eczema if a bath is taken with the leaves. The juice from the soursop is often used as a diuretic. It's been looked at in cancer research as a tumor. It looks cancerous cells to perform apoptosis on themselves. I'm sorry, I got tongue-tied, you guys. Apoptosis is a self-programmed cell death where the cells, basically themselves. And soursop has been shown in many studies. They've been doing many studies on soursop fruit and the leaves, and it's been shown to help with cancerous cell growth and stopping that cell growth because it makes the cells kill themselves. So definitely read up and see for yourself about the uses of soursop in that. Because of the increased amount of vitamin C in soursop, it's been used to treat skin conditions and conditions of the mucous membrane, such as in the digestive system, because of the vitamin C content. And the leaves have been used to help with diabetes as well. So soursop can just be used. The whole plant can basically be used, and the remedies that it can create for different ailments are endless. But soursop is just a great food to add because of its nutrient quality, its antioxidant properties, all of that. And then if you are suffering from any of these conditions, then absolutely you can implement the necessary application to meet your needs. Now, the last fruit I want to talk about is like one of my new favorite fruits, which I also tasted for the first time when I was in Florida, and that's called a sapodilla. Oh, my goodness. Y'all, a sapodilla, if you've never had a sapodilla, or a sapote, as they're called in some countries, it's basically eating a fruit that tastes like brown sugar and cinnamon. Like if you've ever had a yam, those yams with the brown sugar and cinnamon, you know, mm-hmm. that has all the craziness in it, that's what it tastes like. But it's a fruit that's on a tree that nothing else has happened to it. So, but it has to be ripe, of course. And it's originally from Central American countries, like where the rainforests are. But you can also find them in other countries, too. But I think it originated in that Central American tropical rainforest area. And, oh, my goodness, they're just so good. And the fruit has a rich antioxidant panel. Like, it has many different antioxidants in it. It's full of those tannins that help to protect the body from free radicals, from inflammation, because the tannins are those components in plants that help to tonify the tissues, tighten them up. It helps them to not be so. It helps with their integrity, so that they're not. So, like for example, in the digestive system, if you have tannins in the digestive system from food that you're eating, such as a sapodilla, it will tighten up the digestive system mucosa or the lining so that you don't have things like leaky gut, you know, you don't have things entering the digestive system or coming out of the digestive system into the body that shouldn't be there because that can create inflammation. Research studies found that tannins also can help with getting rid of viruses, parasites, worms, and bacteria that are in the body as well. So this really sweet, wonderful tasting fruit actually can help with dispelling parasites and worms. So sapote is it's also high in vitamin C. So again, it's another antioxidant rich fruit. It has a lot of the beta carotenes in it that are good for boosting the immune system. They're good for the eyes. Beta carotenes are also essential for healthy hair, skin, nails, any of the mucous membranes. Consumption of natural sugars that are in the sapodilla also can help with giving like a quick source of energy that's not going to spike the blood sugar, but it's going to raise it slightly and give you the energy you need readily available, so you don't have to worry about it being so sweet that, you know, you can't eat it. Because there's so much fiber, it helps with the blood sugar release, the release of the sugar into the bloodstream, so you don't have to worry. It's going to taste really sweet if you can get one, but man, it's so good for you. Also, too, there are constituents in the sapodilla that help with resisting different bacterial infections, along with the carotenoids that are in it, which help to improve immune function. There are just these constituents that aren't well studied that are in sapodilla, things that are in that family, the same family as the sapodilla, that are really good with helping to boost the immune system. So not only is it a great sweet treat, but it will also help you to support your immune system as well. So, yeah, so definitely try sapodilla if you haven't tried one. It is excellent, excellent, excellent. So, yep, so that's pretty much all I have for you today. Those are some tropical fruits. some that, you know, people may not have been exposed to. Most of them, though, we have access, and we just need to understand their power and how we can incorporate them into our diet for better health. So, yeah, absolutely.
Wow. Those are some awesome, you know, fruits and veggies or tropical plants that I didn't ever really think about was tropical, but they are, you know, especially bananas.
Yes.
I just got to eating my bun, and I like mine with spots too, a lot of spots, especially when it comes to my smoothies, So I do hope that everyone got that information. If you didn't, you can always go back into the archives or listen to it. And I can always tell you guys, always have your pens and pads ready when Dr. Phoebe is bringing the information, because you want to make sure you're always taking notes all the time so you can pass it along. If you can't utilize it, someone else can. So, sis,
absolutely,
I just want to thank you once again for bringing the information
like
you always do. And we'll be back here next week, Friday. And like I said earlier,
I do want to give people my contact.
Oh, sure. Go ahead. I'll definitely do that.
Yeah. So my website that you can go to see my services and to contact me is Ask Dr. Adiro, A, S as in Safflower, K, D as in Diamond, R, A, D as in Diamond, I-R-O, .Weebly, W-E-E, B as in Boy, L-Y, .com. Ask Dr. Adiro. Weebly.com is my website. And if you want to contact me by email for any questions or concerns, you can email me at askdradiro@gmail.com. And then that's my personal email. So anything that you need, don't hesitate to contact me. I also have a like page for my practice in Kingu Health, which is N as in nighttime, apostrophe, K-I-N as in nighttime, G-U Health. And that's on Facebook. Just search it, and I'm the only one that will come up. So you can see different things that I post on there dealing with health, wellness, or specials that I have as far as my product store. I do have a product store on there, so if you're looking for herbs, I have a herbal store. And I also have a community marketplace online as well for different products that I don't actually make myself, but that are vendors, or not vendors, but suppliers for different supplements. There are hair products, there are body care products, supplements, multivitamins, different things. I even have a book section to where I recommend health books, recipe books for raw foods, vegan foods, different things. And you can just go on there and see for yourself some things that can help you along your healing journey and your wellness journey. So utilize me, guys.
Wow, and don't forget to like our like page as well, Food for Medicine. And like I said, you can always go back to the archives and check us out. We've been on over 2 years this month, so there's a host of other shows that you can check out and gather information and pass along. So like I said, we'll be here next Friday. We do thank you guys for joining us, and all the newbies, welcome, and all our old family, welcome. And we'll see you next week.
All right. See you next week, and have a great weekend, you guys. Peace.
Awesome. Peace.
Dynasty Radio. 13.